Welcome to Women Leading the Way radio show, where each time you'll hear from successful women CEOs, executives, and professionals, where we'll discover how they do what they do to be successful in business. We'll be interviewing women who have overcome big challenges, women who have incredible stories of lessons learned in dealing with adversity. We'll even interview women who have started and grown successful organizations, and women who are C-level executives with unique talents and positions. Our goal is to bring successful businesswomen together to share how they're leading the way in business today.
Good morning and welcome to Women Lead Radio, brought to you by Connected Women of Influence. I'm Eva Venari, the Healing Rebel, your host of Owning Your Health. And as a Healing Rebel, I ask questions, sometimes to the point of annoyance, but it's all for your benefit so you can align with your optimal healing path. Our topic today is diets that work for you. Great subject. And our leading lady today is Natalie Butler with Nutrition by Natalie. And Nutrition by Natalie is her private practice, so she's also a corporate wellness dietitian for Apple Inc., contributor to radio programs and published content. And this is where I found her. She was online, and I was reading her article for the Master Cleanse as medical reviewer for Healthline.net. Good morning, Natalie. How are you? Thanks for joining the show.
Good morning. I'm happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
Cool. And to read your insights on it was a very thorough review in my mind. And I thought, oh, my goodness, this is a very popular way for people to want to lose weight. But you brought some points to it that really highlighted some of the both dangers and the effects of what it can do on the body. Would you mind giving us kind of a little bit of an idea of what that's all about, how that Master Cleanse became a focus for you as well?
Sure. So I think it's popular because, as we know, obesity is such a common issue right now in our society. And so definitely people are looking for solutions. And so this is something has become popular for people to have some quick weight loss. But I think with this and really any kind of crash diet that's out there, you really want to understand what you're doing to your body, what you're taking in or not taking in, and then that not just how that's going to affect you in the moment, but what that might do to you after this short period of time is over, and will that help you in the long run or will that work against you in the long run? So my main concern with Master Cleanse is that it's just not a sustainable approach, and so many times people have weight regain. Their hunger level just skyrockets when they start eating food again. And if you haven't ever dealt with your initial reasons or the initial or kind of the underlying reasons why your lifestyle may not be healthy, you know, once you go off of this, you're reverting back to those behaviors. And so it's almost like you're just putting a Band-Aid on a wound, but it can't ever heal properly because you haven't address that underlying issue. And so that's kind of the gist of the Master Cleanse is, while, yes, you might see some weight loss because you're not eating food, there's definitely some downsides to it because it's lacking in nutrition. You might have headaches, you might have dizziness, and it's not always appropriate, even for a very short period of time, depending on what health conditions you might currently be dealing with. So, yeah, I kind of take the precautionary approach to health when it comes to something extreme like this.
And the number one complaint I've heard is muscle loss.
It can be, you know, it's similar with water fasting as well, depending on how long you're doing it. If you're doing like a water fast for over 2 days, really, I mean, you start to jeopardize your body's ability to maintain its muscle mass. And we know how valuable muscle mass is, especially for weight management, because that's your metabolically active tissue. So if you start dropping your muscle mass, you really are setting yourself up for making it harder for yourself to lose weight and keep a lower weight just because now you're starting to dip into those muscle stores.
Well, and you brought up a really great point about the healthy lifestyle behavior. So then I'm thinking to myself, you know, if I was listening to this conversation and I really had a good experience with Master Cleanse for weight loss, is it possible to combine readjusting your healthy lifestyle behaviors while doing this program in order to make it more sustainable? Or what do you think? What's your thought on that?
That's definitely a complex question. I think that varies by the individual. I think in you know, in some cases there can be ways to sort of jumpstart your new healthy routine or your new healthy lifestyle, whether it is a fasting type approach. I'm a fan of Dr. Longo, who wrote the Longevity Diet, and he has created the fasting mimicking program. And in many ways, that can be something like that can be a jump start, or starting an intermittent fasting kind of program for yourself. A lot of times that can help you get somewhat of like a temporary control on what your behaviors are, what foods you're choosing sort of mindlessly, not even realizing, wow, I eat a snack every hour and I'm not even hungry. You know, so it can kind of help curb some of that mindless behavior. But then if you don't have that other education piece to it, or you don't have something to transition into after that short period of time is over, that's where people really start to jeopardize the long-term success, because, like I said, you're potentially reverting back to old behaviors and not really making progress overall.
And being a health nutrition coach for Apple, I'm wondering, do you have the employees come to you asking for guidance on different diets while they're there, so that they can get that? Because it sounds to me like having a partner, somebody who's accountable with you, even if it's your nutritionist, great. If it's somebody who is your partner in losing weight, you know, that's one aspect to keep each other, you know, on track. But I'm really curious about this. When people are trying to apply something like this to their life and they bring it to work, what kind of questions do you get from the employees, or is it, can we talk about that?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, whether it's at Apple or the other organizations I support or my own business, when clients come to me, I would say the number one request is either they just say, hey, I generally want to eat healthy, or I want to try this diet. What do you think? So, I mean, I would say most people are coming to me with that, you know, and because being overweight and obesity is, it's such a common occurrence, you know, that is right up in there too. And so I would say the top three questions that I get questions about would be a plant-based diet, Mediterranean diet, the ketogenic diet, and then kind of short-term crash diets like this. In fact, I just got an email this morning from someone asking me, what do I think about the potato diet? Can they eat potatoes, only potatoes, for 4 days, and will that be beneficial for them? And I sort of laughed
out loud. I've never heard of that one.
I know. And I laughed out loud, but that just kind of shows you people will go to extreme measures if they really feel like, hey, somehow this is going to benefit me, or this is going to help jumpstart my health or my changes. And so, yeah, it's and science is always evolving. So as a dietitian, it definitely keeps me on my toes, because I don't want to be just one of those naysayers out there. Whoa, well, you know, that's a new approach, and there's just not enough published studies out there, without really listening to my clients, because a lot of times the science is behind the antidotes. And so if some people have had benefit on something for, you know, a decade, but there's not a bunch of research, that doesn't necessarily mean it's not beneficial or that's not safe. So I kind of have to navigate all those waters for my clients, and that's what makes my job so fun and rewarding.
Well, that's, you bring up a great question. What is the science behind the different eating styles of what may work for one person and not for another?
Yeah, great question. So I actually created this diagram because I do have clients who are so confused all the time, because you can access any information online, and you can read a study that says the ketogenic diet is amazing, and then you can read the opposite study that says a plant-based diet will cure, you know, every condition that they studied. And so I created this diagram to show what similarities are between the various diets. So let's start with the ketogenic diet. So very well studied. In fact, when I did a search on it a couple of weeks ago, there's over 900 published studies available. I would say that majority of those are really focused on seizure control because that's what the diet historically has been used for. But within the last decade or so, lots of studies on how this might affect metabolism and heart disease and weight loss and all these, you know, PCOS and cholesterol management and lots of other health conditions that I think a lot of people historically have not just really thought about the ketogenic diet in that light. It's just an extreme form of dieting. And my biggest concern when I started looking into that was, okay, you're cutting out most all carbohydrates. And how are you going to support your gut bacteria? Because they feed off of fiber. They feed off of the fiber that's in carbohydrates. So now that you're following an extremely low carbohydrate diet, what is that doing to gut bacteria? So when I was looking in the main studies, what I kept seeing was that the researchers would use this term in a well-planned ketogenic diet. We found these results, and they would go on and they would give the results. And I kept seeing that phrase over and over and over, well-planned. And then it occurred to me, okay, so the results are not coming from, or at least the researchers were not advocating, oh, you can eat bacon all day and fried cheese all day, and that's what's contributing to the results. They still were recommending to see metabolic changes, to see improvement in cholesterol, to do a well-planned diet. And in my mind, my opinion, that means still getting adequate fiber, still getting vegetables, getting the minimum amount of fruit that can be still included in a ketogenic diet in order to get those phytochemicals and antioxidants, to choose Mediterranean-style fats instead of eating saturated fat, red meat, bacon, and, you know, cheese all day long. So I think the ketogenic diet can be appropriate for some people. I mean, definitely have had clients that have just radically transformed their lives and their conditions and their off medications. I would, however, I don't see it as a long-term sustainable approach for most people.
I'm going to ask how long. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I would say typically when someone's asking me about what diet they want to follow, I ask the question back, do you think you could follow this for 6 months or longer? And that sort of helps people understand what dietary style is going to be best for them, because we know that weight regain is so common when someone goes, quote unquote, off of the diet. And so really the best diet for someone is the diet that doesn't feel like a diet. You know, it's like, oh, this is just healthier eating to me. This feels sustainable. This is something I can do long term. And most people would say the ketogenic diet is not that. Now, I still think it's a tool in the toolbox, and it definitely can be medically appropriate for some people to have major changes in their health. But my recommendation is that it's a short-term medical treatment, and then we need to transition you still into a healthy long-term diet. And for a lot of people, that might be the Mediterranean-style diet because it has reduction in junk carbohydrates, but it's more liberal, so it's more doable over time, and allowing for, you know, social engagements and being with family, and it's just easier to do long-term.
And for some people, this is just their diet. This is what they're eating day in and day out.
Yeah.
So it would make sense to me, the more you can make whatever it is that you choose to do, that it is sustainable over a long term. Because like you said, that yo-yoing, I'm going to do this diet for a short period of time, and then I go back to my old eating habits, it makes sense that you're going to regain that weight because how you created it or whatever,
right,
whatever
right.
The issue was, right?
Yeah. Right, absolutely.
And the other thing I heard very clearly is that we get fiber from carbohydrates. And I know I hear this all the time, and especially the ketogenic diet. It's all about stay away from the carbs because it is seen as sugar in the body. So where are we misstepping in our understanding of what carbs are really, and how should we rephrase how we think of carbs so that we can at least think of them in a healthy way?
Well, and that's a good question. So we definitely have way too much access in kind of the current food culture in the United States and a lot of industrialized countries. We have access to pretty much, you know, any type of food as much as we want. And a lot of it is these processed junk carbohydrates. So there is value in reducing carbohydrates for blood sugar control, energy function, and all of that. And so I think that's where a lot of people see benefit is like, oh, wow, I'm not eating junk all day. I'm not eating, you know, straight sugar, refined processed foods that are spiking my blood sugar and then making me drop and making me feel fatigued and lazy in the afternoon. But I think we're missing the value of good quality carbohydrates, which would, examples would be your pulses or your legumes, peas, and lentils. The majority of that fiber, I mean, it's really hard to get the same amount of fiber in half a cup of beans when you have half a cup of whole grains or half a cup of fruits. I mean, it's half a cup of beans, to give you an example, is 8 grams of fiber. If you had half a cup of brown rice, which we all think is so great, you know, a lot of people do, there's only 2 grams of fiber in a half cup serving of rice. So in that instance, you know, it really does come down to what carbohydrates are you depending on. I did look at a diabetes study that was looking at diabetics who are receiving medical treatment, they're on medication, they're trying to manage their blood sugars, but they were having difficulty actually lowering their blood sugars when their default carbohydrates were flour-based products and rice. Even if they were whole grain breads, you know, whole grain flour-based breads or pastas and brown rice. And it's because those are typically lower in fiber than something like a potato with skin or beans or lentils or berries. And so I would say before you just throw out the concept, oh, well, you know, carbs are just bad for me, let's pay attention to the high fiber ones because that's going to feed our good gut bacteria. And maybe that's the solution that someone, that's all they have to go for to really see the big health changes that they're looking for or the weight loss they're looking for. Maybe it's just eliminating your junk carbohydrates and only choosing ones that are really high fiber. And that might be enough of a step and that might be sustainable for that person.
That sounds very reasonable to me. I'm thinking, okay, so you get a handle on your carbs, you kind of get a handle on protein, which diet is kind of right for you as you set that out. And I'm wondering, like, what are some simple ways that we can take, you know, because we're all busy, what are some simple habits that we can take this new diet to business and into our workday? So that we can have that healthy work-life balance.
Yeah, so I think being prepared for your week comes down to what you do before your week starts. So, I mean, if Monday morning comes rolling in and you haven't done a single thing to set you up for success that week, I think, number one, that's just going to make you feel more stressed about your food choices and how to manage it. And number two, we know when we work in jobs that just zaps our prefrontal cortex energy, you know, we've used our brain all day long for these jobs that we have nowadays. By the end of the day, we don't want to make a whole bunch of decisions. We want, you know, to have easy, convenient choices. And if we haven't meal prepped, if we haven't planned out what we're going to have that week, we are a lot more susceptible to choosing the easy, quick, convenient, whether it's healthy or not. So one of the things that I love to do, and I think it's becoming a popular routine for many who are able to reach that success that they're looking for in their health and overall and just their work-life balance, is the meal planning and the meal prepping, you know, that weekend before the week starts. So for me yesterday, it was boiling eggs for the week. It was making a batch of hummus. It was steaming some edamame and broccoli. It was cutting up some fresh fruits and vegetables, and that makes meal prep, you know, dinner. It makes lunch packing really quick. I pack my kids' lunches for school. And if I started my week without doing that, I would just be way behind the eight ball. And so that's probably the biggest recommendation I would make. Whether you're following a plant-based diet that certainly has a lot of research behind it too, or you're doing the opposite diet, the ketogenic diet, or you're in the middle at the Mediterranean, whichever approach you're taking for your own health, meal prep is still a big part of that. And that will help you follow what those researchers said in those studies, you know, in this well-planned diet. And that's the goal.
How important, I'm thinking about all this too, this comes to mind, the number of people who tell me, Eva, I'm too busy to eat lunch. I don't stop. Like, what can be done to help remind us, other than the grumbling stomach, what can help us get into a healthy habit of paying attention to our body signals?
Well, it might be something as simple as just putting an alarm on your phone that goes off at 12:30 every day. And if we have enough time to go run to the restroom, we have enough time to eat a really small lunch. I mean, I think that's an excuse that we might use just because we don't want to deal with the time or deal with the inconvenience of having to figure out lunch. But there's no reason why we can't build in 10 minutes in a day, no matter how busy someone is. And even if you're like, oh no, you don't get my schedule. Like, I am busier than anybody I know. You could still drink a smoothie. I mean, it takes a few seconds to blend, and that could be consumed in a matter of minutes. My recommendation is always to do it in a mindful way. So even if you're super swamped, still shut down your computer. Don't look at a screen while you're eating. You absorb your nutrients better. Your pleasure hormone hits the brain faster. Your satiety hormone hits the brain faster. And that will set you up for success, because then in an hour or two, you're not all of a sudden looking for more food. Even though technically you've got enough calories and you've got enough nutrition, your body is confused because you weren't paying attention when you were eating, so you missed out on that whole food experience. So slowing ourselves down, even if it is, like I said, even if it is just for 5 or 10 minutes, slowing our breathing, taking in the flavors and the aromas of what we are eating or what we are drinking, that can really help us manage our quantity of food over time and ultimately our health.
Those are really, really good points. And that slowing down part is just so key, because you're, like you said, you're not going to take advantage of that. And then we end up with moments of foggy thinking, oh, my God, I need more coffee. And now we're burning out our adrenals and getting more off balance. So it's a crazy thing that happens when we ignore ourselves. Yeah. Mm. I'm really curious, what got you interested? How did you become interested in diet nutrition?
So I remember as a little kid always trying to kind of be the boss over my siblings when it came to mealtime. I was like really concerned about how much they had on their plate, how much they had eaten. And it was just so this, it sort of, you know, started way back when I was a kid. I was always really interested in food and how it would make me feel and how other people like different flavors and preferences. And then that kind of blossomed into when I was in college. I was actually majoring in international business. And at the time, my dad was dealing with some stomach issues, and it hadn't been diagnosed at the time, but he was in a lot of pain every day. And I thought, you know what? I have to take an elective course for my business degree. I'm going to take nutrition and see if I can help my dad out. And I'm so grateful for that, because it was probably, I think, the first class that I sat in on, and I was like, oh, this is what I'm supposed to do. I mean, I just immediately zipped it out of my class to my counselor, and I was like, okay, I got to change my major. This is what I'm supposed to do. And it made, you know, and sort of that light bulb went off, and I was like, oh my gosh, I should have known this, you know, looking back at my history as a kid, you know, trying to tell my siblings, oh, that's too much mac and cheese. You didn't eat enough broccoli yet. So then it went from college, and then started my private practice, and eventually became an RD, and now it's such a rewarding career, because I get to help people every day, and I don't think there's anything that's more rewarding than, yeah, helping people really transform their health and then helping them feel better. So I'm very grateful.
I in my language, I believe that that's being in service is the best thing that we can do for each other. But I think that's fantastic. What a great story. Thank you for sharing that. And I'm thinking too about, you know, yeah, and as you're bringing it into Apple and then your own business, I'm just thinking about our listeners here. If they have a small business and they're not quite at the place where they're wanting to start a corporate wellness program like Apple, do you have suggestions for ways that they can bring aboard your kind of coaching and expertise into business so that, you know, they can support their employees and themselves so productivity can shine, you know, so people can feel good while they're at work?
Sure. Well, there's some simple things that can be done with a small business. So it might just be something like, hey, we're going to bring, you know, this dietitian in. She's going to provide 6 hours of consultations to anyone who wants to sign up for her services. Or it might be a monthly kind of lunch and learn seminars where people get to come in, have a healthy lunch, learn a valuable health topic. And that doesn't cost a lot of money to the company. It might be managing the vending items in their vending machines. So one of the programs that I really recommend at companies is to work with their vendors to at least have 30% healthy items in their vending machines. I mean, think about when you are looking for something quick and easy, if your default is a vending machine and there's nothing healthy there, I mean, that's only telling people, well, we don't really care about your health because we're not giving you access to anything healthy. So I think that's an easy starting point for companies. You know, most companies have a vending machine. Even if they don't manage it, they can at least contact their vendor and say, hey, we need some healthier items here. Another idea might be to bring in or to have on-site delivery of CSA boxes, which is community supported agriculture. So maybe their fresh fruits and vegetables are delivered on site instead of them having to take time out of their weekend to go find a farmer's market and to get fresh produce. And so all these things kind of tell the employee, you as a company, hey, I care about you. I don't just care about your productivity and what you can do for me. Like, I care about you as a person. And that just feeds right back into they want to be a better employee because they feel supported, and it helps them have this better work-life balance. So really, it's a mutual, you know, beneficial relationship when companies are supporting their employees through their health.
That's great ideas. I love all of that. And it's a way to be conscious rather than, like running on autopilot or by default. Well, everybody's got a vending machine with, you know, the typical candy bars and things in it, but that's not what really keeps us healthy in the long term. So that's fantastic. Thank you so much for sharing those. And just in case for our listeners, they may want to reach out to you after the show, how would you like them to contact you?
Sure. So my website is nutritionbynatalie.com, and my name is spelled N-A-T-A-L-I-E. I'm also on Instagram. I do post what I eat pretty regularly, and so that's a fun visual way of seeing what a healthy diet can look like. And my handle is at NutritionByNatalieRD. And then also on Facebook with the same / NutritionByNatalieRD. And then if you just want to send me an email, natalie@nutritionbynatalie.com is a great way to get in touch.
I remember hunting you down to talk to you. So that email does work. And if in case you didn't catch those details, we're going to have all that information she just listed on the show notes below. So I just wanted to say this is fantastic. I loved our conversation. Thank you so much for sharing everything you did.
You are so welcome. I'm glad to be able to share with your customers and your listeners.
Wonderful. Well, look, everybody, this is the show for today. I'd like to thank you, Natalie, for being a leading lady, and a special thanks to all of our listeners, both in the U.S. and around the world, because we are an international show. And we'll be back again for another Women Lead Radio show every Monday, 9 a.m., Friday at 2 p.m. It's been my sincere pleasure to be your host today. Thank you for listening. Have a great week. This is Eva Venari, the Healing Rebel, reminding you to question everything. Thank you.
Women Leading the Way is produced by Connected Women of Influence, the premier private membership organization where like-focused, business-to-business executive and professional women connect, collaborate, and cultivate a vast network of high-level affiliations, resources, and professional relationships. For more information about Connected Women of Influence, please visit our website at connectedwomenofinfluence.com.